a gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on KSLPodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
For news.
Good afternoon. It's 5 o'clock, and this is the 5 o'clock report. 20 minutes of uninterrupted news, commercial free. I'm Maria Chaleos, in today for Jeff Kaplan, KSL's top story this hour. We are learning more about the fatal crash in Kanosh yesterday as the death toll rises to 8. KSL News Radio's Nick Wyatt has the latest.
If you spot a road hazard, you won't have the time to react to that. So we ask that you slow down and only be able to operate your vehicle at a safe speed that you can move.
The Utah Highway Patrol says of the 8 people killed on I-15 between Meadow and Kanosh, half were adults, the other half kids under the age of 15. The UHP says 22 cars were involved in this pileup around 4:30 yesterday, which they believe was caused by low visibility as a dust storm blew across the road. 5 of the 8 who died were in one car, 2 were in another car, and 1 person was in a third car. No names have yet been officially released. Nick Wyatt, KSL News Radio.
So what do you do in low-visibility driving situations like the one that happened yesterday? Utah Highway Patrol Sergeant Cameron Roden says the first thing to do is slow down.
If you spot a road hazard, you won't have the time to react to that. So we ask that you slow down and only be able to operate your vehicle at a safe speed that you can maneuver around a potential hazard. If necessary, and you can see it coming, and it may be necessary for you to exit the freeway and wait out the situation for it to pass.
Sergeant Roden says you need to keep your lights on so drivers can see you on the road, but your brights reflect even more off dust or fog. Salt Lake police are trying to find a driver who hit and killed a pedestrian earlier this morning. Sergeant Keith Horrock says this happened right in front of police near 550 West and 3rd South.
The officers were there kind of on scene as it happened. It happened across the street from where they were at, and they immediately obviously rushed over and attempted to give life-saving measures to that victim until fire arrived, EMS personnel arrived, and unfortunately that person succumbed to their injuries and passed away.
Police are looking for a silver 2013 Subaru Impreza station wagon with Utah license plate number of U770CA.
Wild weather.
Hot and smoky today, but the rest of the week is looking good. People playing outdoors with their kids this morning are glad that this could be the last 100-degree day for a while.
As long as I got some shade, I'm okay. I'll probably take this over, you know, the cold and the wind of winter.
I'm planning on going in the house and staying under the air conditioner.
National Weather Service reports the airport hit 100 degrees just before 5 o'clock. It's the 18th time the state has reached 100 degrees or more this year. Now, the thunderstorm systems will start to move in tomorrow, and they bring 10 days of possible monsoons with them. Just as Utah is cooling down a bit, at least 30 million people will likely see temperatures at or over 100 degrees by the end of the week. Temperatures were especially heightened today across Idaho and portions of Montana. Excessive heat warnings have been in effect. Now, the heat is bad news for the West and its wildfires. There are more than 80 large blazes currently burning across the West. The monsoonal moisture isn't a new story in southern Utah, but the National Weather Service has again issued a slew of flash flood warnings and watches for the southern end of the state. There is a flash flood warning for Minersville in Beaver County, with the National Weather Service estimating up to 2.5 inches has fallen in the Beaver River. Cedar City is seeing lots of flooding as well. Photos show the Walmart parking lot has turned into a knee-deep lake. KSL's top national stories this hour. The Department of Veterans Affairs is now the first federal agency to require COVID vaccinations. ABC's Karen Travers begins our team coverage.
The Department of Veterans Affairs will require COVID-19 vaccinations for all of its healthcare personnel who work in or visit VA facilities or provide direct care to those the VA serves. This is the first federal agency to mandate some of its employees get vaccinated. President Biden in the Oval Office Monday.
Veterans Affairs is going to, in fact, require that all docs working in and facilities are going to have to be vaccinated.
VA Secretary Dennis McDonough said in a statement this will be mandated because, quote, it's the best way to keep veterans safe. Karen Travers, ABC News, the White House.
California will also require vaccinations for some workers. ABC's Alex Stone continues our team coverage from Los Angeles.
In announcing that California state workers and healthcare employees will have to show they've been vaccinated or face frequent COVID testing and mask rules, Governor Gavin Newsom called out Tucker Carlson, Ron Johnson, Marjorie Taylor Greene, and what he called the right-wing echo chamber for perpetuating misinformation about the vaccine, leading to people getting sick and dying.
And to listen to these pundits that are profiteering off misinformation, intentionally misinforming.
Alex Stone, ABC News, Los Angeles.
Back to the East Coast, where New York City will require a vaccination or a weekly COVID test. Mayor Bill de Blasio announced the mandate, citing the danger and deadly nature of the rapidly spreading Delta variant. This will apply to about 340,000 city workers, including teachers and police officers. If employees refuse to comply, they will be put on leave with no pay. And Ricky Meese, tell us about the trouble spots.
We continue to have delays on the 201 going westbound from 5600 west out to where we have the closure at 7200 west. Westbound I-80 also taking a hit this afternoon with overflow delays as you're approaching and passing the Great Salt Lake. Ricky Meese in the KSL Traffic Center.
And the 5 o'clock report is brought to you by Any Hour Services, electrical, plumbing, heating, and air, anyhourservices.com. KSL News Time 506. The United States is racking up the gold, silver, and bronze at the Summer Olympics in Tokyo, 3 days into the medals competition. ABC's Jim Ryan says some attitudes in the Japanese capital may be changing.
In the overall medal standing, China is in the lead, followed by the U.S. and then Japan. And while many in this country opposed holding the games at all,
a lot of Japanese got medals, so I'm so happy.
Still, rising COVID numbers outside the Olympic bubble have many in this city concerned that this could be a super spreader.
Japan's in like a huge state of emergency, but they're also hosting the Olympics. It doesn't seem like it makes any sense.
The capital has seen a 141% increase in COVID cases in the past week. Jim Ryan, ABC News, Tokyo.
History was made at the Olympics today. Florida native Anastasia Zolotowicz became the first American woman to take the gold in Taekwondo.
I want to be an inspiration for young girls and young athletes. Just everything I've wanted and worked so hard for, and kind of, it's like a legacy I'm leaving behind.
History was also made by the Philippines this afternoon. The country won its first gold medal ever, and the country has been sending athletes since 1924. That is 100 years of waiting for an Olympic medal. Weightlifter Hidalyn Diaz was the history maker. She won gold and set an Olympic record. Tokyo is still monitoring COVID cases within the Olympic Village. ABC senior foreign correspondent James Longman is there and says there's now at least one new instance of post-event diagnosis.
There are now 153 cases of COVID-19 related to these Olympics, 19 of them athletes. And we've now had the first case of an athlete testing positive after he had competed. It's a Dutch rower. He tested positive after his heat on Friday. He then had to forfeit his event on Saturday, and he's now in self-isolation.
Longman reports the weather is also putting a damper on things.
A storm has been threatening Japan for the last couple of days. It's already meant that rowing and the archery events have had to be rescheduled. But the bigger issue here is the heat. It's something like 90 degrees most days, 80% humidity. A Russian archer actually passed out because of it, and some of the tennis players have asked for their events to be rescheduled. I can tell you, it is boiling hot here.
There's also an incoming tropical storm expected to make landfall tomorrow. It's not forecast to strengthen, though, into a typhoon. KSL News Time 508. Time for Jeff Kaplan's Minute of News. It's brought to you by Any Hour Services, electrical, plumbing, heating, and air, anyhourservices.com.
A few days ago, one of the four astronauts that SpaceX delivered to the International Space Station is French.
Stage one propulsion.
Thomas Pesquet leaves behind the baguettes, boulabaisse, and coq-au-vin of French cuisine for the foil packets of space food. But don't feel sorry for him. The New York Times reports, gone are the days when astronauts with a five-day beard would squeeze spaghetti and meatball paste out of a toothpaste tube. No, no, this trip, Thomas Pesquet spends 6 months experiencing French epicurean delights while drifting 254 miles above Earth. And he's brought enough French food to share with his crewmates on special occasions. You know, like birthdays. The crew will enjoy dishes like lobster thermidor, bœuf bourguignon, created by food scientists consulting with famous French chefs in New York and Paris. Quite the challenge. The meals in space are drained of water to save weight. Foods that crumble are banned because, well, the crumbs would fly all over the place. And the flavors have to survive sterilization at 285 degrees, and then the meal is sealed in a tin. The astronauts have to add back the water and bon appetit. One food scientist asks, imagine if they did all that stuff to your spaghetti dinner. Dehydration, sterilization, re-adding the water. How do you think it would taste? Well, miraculously, the answer on the space station is pretty good. But the Times points out, dessert is another story. In 60 years of spaceflight, no astronaut has ever eaten ice cream in space. Never been done.
Jeff Kaplan's Minute of News, only on KSL News Radio.
Traffic and weather together brought to you by Zions Bank, your business banking home. Emergency traffic continues on the 21st South Freeway. We still have the closure in place. East and westbound directions at 7200 West is still going to be a while before they get this opened up as crews are mopping up this crash that involved four vehicles and with injuries and a vehicle fire. You have stop and go and slow and go delays westbound SR-201. From I-215's West Belt all the way to Magna, southbound I-15, slowdowns from just after 4500 South, almost to 90th South. Len?
That crash out there westbound I-80 a mile east of Solterra with slowing is now stretching and thinning out, so it's not too bad there. Once you get to Lake Point, though, traffic tightens a bit on SR-36 to Mills Junction. And right now, Bangor Highway is a little bit busy in Glendale as you make your way toward the 201 and in Kearns. And that crash northbound I-15 and 900 South off-ramp has a right lane closed, so use caution there. Steve?
And traffic moving again now. Northbound 89 following that earlier rollover wreck. Still have some delays, though, between 200 North and Cherry Lane in Davis County. More slowdowns at South Weber Drive, plus northbound 15 slowdowns in Davis County at Kaysville Ponds up to Hill Air Force Base. Any hour services, electrical, plumbing, heating, and air, already known for the care they take to keep your homes clean and safe. To learn more, Google Any Hour Services or visit anyhourservices.com. Steve Carlson in the KSL Traffic Center.
Traffic and weather together every 10 minutes on the nines. Here's Kevin Eubank with the hourly forecast on the 5 o'clock report, an hour-by-hour description as we head toward Tuesday.
Thanks a lot, Maria. As we head through the 5 o'clock hour, temperatures in the upper 90s under mostly sunny and smoky skies. There are still a few thunderstorms off to the east of Salt Lake City, but they should stay off to the east. We're looking at temperatures into the mid-90s by 6 o'clock, low 90s by 7 and 8, upper 80s by 9. Ultimate lows will be in the mid-70s. With your hourly forecast on the 5 o'clock report, I'm Kevin Eubank.
100 degrees in downtown Salt Lake City. A man lost a chunk of his ear after a fight at a rodeo on Pioneer Day. KSL.com reports it happened at the West Jordan Rodeo Grounds near the end of the event. West Jordan police say one man was dancing, another man took offense to it, so that man tackled the dancing man, and the two fought. Now, the 31-year-old dancing man bit the attacker's ear. When police found him, he was still carrying the piece of the severed ear, and had it wrapped in a bandana. He was arrested and booked into the Salt Lake County Jail for investigation of mayhem. Now, the injured man was taken to the local hospital. We don't know if doctors were able to reattach his ear. The tiniest bit of relief at the gas pump.
For the first time in about a month and a half, gas prices have actually gone down a little bit in the last week. Due to easing oil prices, the Energy Department reports a price of regular unleaded is down about 2 cents a gallon nationwide in the past week to $3.14 a gallon, but still it's 96 cents above this time last year. The most expensive gas remains in California at $4.17 a gallon on average for regular unleaded.
That is ABC's Alex Stone reporting. The average for a regular gallon of gas in Utah is $3.86. Three Senate Republicans filed an amicus brief urging the Supreme Court to overturn Roe v. Wade. Senator Mike Lee is one of the three who filed the 33-page brief asking the court to use a Mississippi case to review Roe v. Wade, which protects the constitutional right to an abortion. One of the stories we are following on the 5 o'clock report, unsealed court documents show a man accused of murdering a Sandy woman and leaving her body near the Jordan River may have spent months blackmailing and stalking her. KSL News Radio's Kara Hoffelmeyer is following this update. And on Masako Kenley's death, Kara?
Maria, a search warrant is revealing some new details in this case this afternoon. KSL.com reports the new document shows Sandy police learned William O'Reilly and Kenley had been having an affair for the past 16 years, but they were unsure about the scope of their relationship. But what they did know is that O'Reilly had installed a GPS tracker on Kenley's car without her knowledge about 2 months before her death. Police report a friend says O'Reilly was forcing Kenley to have sex with him by blackmailing her and saying he would tell her husband. Police are still investigating their relationship. Police found Kenley's body, as you said, near the Jordan River, and an autopsy later determined she had been shot twice and stabbed four times. O'Reilly will be back in court in little over a month, Maria.
All right. Thank you, Kara. Trending right now, she gained fame for her video of shredding in a fairy wings and dress. Now she's one of the youngest athletes to win an Olympic medal. 13-year-old Raisa Lael won a silver medal after competing in the first women's street skateboarding event in Tokyo this weekend. KSL News Time 5:15, the three things you need to know this hour. First,
four adults and four children account for the eight deaths in a major pileup on I-15 in Millard County. The Utah Highway Patrol says yesterday's 22-car crash was likely caused by heavy wind blowing dust over the road and impairing visibility. I'm KSL News Radio's Nick Wyatt.
Second, a significant weather advisory in place for Beaver and Millard County until 5:45 tonight. Penny-sized hail and wind gusts to 50 miles per hour are possible in addition to heavy rain. Third, our biggest traffic trouble spot with Ricky Meese.
It is emergency traffic with the westbound direction closed on the 201 at 7200 West due to a crash. Delays back to the West Belt. Also heavy delays, possibly due to a rollover accident, northbound Highway 89 prior to SR 193. Ricky Meese in the KSL Traffic Center.
Temperatures near 100 degrees in the north, but flooding rains in the south. I'm Kevin Eubank.
100 degrees in downtown Salt Lake City. Time now for KSL's top national stories.
From ABC News, I'm Daria Albinger. With COVID-19 cases on the rise, especially from the highly contagious Delta variant, more employers are implementing stronger steps in the workplace. New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio says all city workers will soon be required to get vaccinated or undergo weekly tests.
The purely voluntary phase is ending. It's now time to add additional tools.
The Department of Veterans Affairs today became the first federal agency to require healthcare workers to get the shot. And in one California city, you'll need more than an ID to get into a bar because of the surge.
At hundreds of bars in and around San Francisco, proof of vaccination or a negative COVID test within 72 hours will be required to go inside. The San Francisco Bar Owners Alliance says members are making the move to protect workers, customers, and families as COVID cases rise in California, mainly among the unvaccinated. The new vaccine passport rules begin at bars on Thursday. Alex Stone, ABC News.
President Biden confirming during a meeting with Iraq's prime minister today that the U.S. military mission in Iraq will have fully transitioned from one of combat to one of training and assistance to Iraqi forces by the end of the year.
There will be some sort of force protection and some sort of counterterrorism units acting in Iraq or protecting those troops in some way. We heard Jen Psaki, the White House spokesperson, ask about how many troops will be in Iraq at the end of the year, and she did not answer that question, but I think the answer is probably the same amount that are there now.
ABC's chief global affairs correspondent Martha Raddatz. A House Select Committee charged with looking into the January 6th attack on the Capitol will convene tomorrow. Former California Senator Barbara Boxer tweeting that she suffered minor injuries when someone tried to steal her cell phone. Stocks rose today. The Dow and the Nasdaq closed at all-time highs. You're listening to ABC News.
Time now for the KSL In-Depth. U.S. athletes have won 14 medals in the first days of the Olympics. KSL TV's Alex Cabrero is in Tokyo covering the events. And good morning to you, Alex.
Good morning, Maria. How are you all doing today in Salt
Lake City?
Quite
a time difference, right?
Yeah, we're 15 hours ahead. It's 8:30 in the morning here now, Tuesday, and the weather, Maria, has changed. It's raining today. That little edge of that typhoon kind of came through. We didn't get the brunt of it, thank goodness, but it has pushed back some of the events today. However, the BMX women's cross-country mountain bike race is happening at midnight Utah time, but Park City's Haley Batten is going to be competing in that one. We just did a story with her on KSL television. Normally, kids in Park City, they ski and snowboard. Her parents bought her a bicycle. She started mountain biking, and something clicked. She absolutely fell in love with it, and she's one of the best in the world right now.
All right. Tell us about some of our other Utah Olympians. How are they doing?
You know, we're hanging in there. Michaela Skinner, you know, the gymnast from the University of Utah. Absolutely heartbreaking. She had an amazing event, but with that rule where you can only have two athletes per country that move ahead, she wasn't able to move ahead, unfortunately. But we did do a chat with her last night, an interview. My colleague, Shara Park, sat down with her for a one-on-one, and she's going to have that in KSL's morning show tomorrow. She's just one of the best, and she's a great human being, too. So friendly, generous with her time, and just a genuine person.
All right. We have a couple of other folks there. What is it? Alexis Lagan. Am I pronouncing that correctly?
That's right. I did a story with Alexis Lagan. She's a pistol shooter. She's a shooter. She went to the University of Utah, was on the marksmanship team up that way. She was almost about to go to BYU, but she changed her mind at the last minute because of the physics program at the U. And then she didn't have any friends at the U because they all went to BYU. So she joined the marksmanship club just to have friends. And wouldn't you know it, she's naturally good at that sport. She's an Olympian now. In the 10-meter women's pistol, she came in. She was down toward the bottom, 38th place. Mm-hmm. She says she knows she can do better than that. It was those first Olympics jitters. But she goes in the mixed team 10-meter pistol here in about 45 minutes. And then she has another event with the rifle, the 25-meter rifle, on Thursday. So she still has two events to compete. And now that those first jitters are out of the way, she's going to do better.
Great.
I have no doubt.
Well, Alex, I know we have other Utahns to talk about, but we're out of time. We'll have to get another update from you tomorrow. Thank you so much.
We'll do it.
All right. That is KSL 5's Alex Cabrero. KSL News Time, it is just past 519. We do have emergency traffic coverage. It is sponsored by Zions Bank, your business banking home. And let's check in with Ricky Meeks.
Once again, the 201 is the hot spot this afternoon. If you need to get into Magna, West Valley, or Tooele County, you need to consider I-80 or 3500 South. Anything except westbound on the 21st South Freeway. Delays start at I-215's West Belt and continue all the way to where we have the westbound closure at 7200 West, southbound on I-15. Slowdowns from 5300 almost to 90th South. Now starting to see a little bit of backup on I-215 South Belt going eastbound, approaching the I-15 junction in Murray. Len?
Once you get out there on the westbound I-80, a mile east of Saltaire, there's a little bit of slow traffic there, but it's getting much better. It's a good alternative out there. And if you're getting off that 900 South off-ramp, there's still a left lane closed there at 900 South. And in Utah County, you've got a little bit of slowing around the point of the mountain from SR-92 up to the gravel pit. And then an accident in the Center Street area, southbound I-15 on the right shoulder, has slowing from Wing. Steve?
Right now, an easy drive on northbound 15, leaving downtown Salt Lake into Davis County. Got slowdowns, though, at the Kaysville Ponds up to Hill Air Force Base. Northbound Highway 89 looking better, but still crowded from 200 North up to Cherry Lane. Also at South Weaver Drive. And you've got good speeds on the West Side Belt. That's traveling northbound I-215 and on the Lexi Highway between Salt Lake and Lagoon. A home equity credit line from Zions Bank can help you upgrade your kitchen, bathroom, backyard, or whatever else needs updating. Loans subject to credit approval. Terms and conditions apply. Equal housing lender. Steve Carlson in the KSL Traffic Center.
And let's take a look at the 7-day forecast. Here's Kevin Eubank.
Thanks a lot, Maria. Well, southern Utah getting pounded with heavy rain, flooding conditions 1 to 2 inches from St. George up through Cedar City. Tonight, along the Wasatch Front, will be in the 70s, partly cloudy, still smoky, with a slight chance of some thunderstorms in the afternoon and a high of 96. But as we head through the rest of the week, an increasing chance of those storms, temperatures drop to the mid-90s, and by Friday, Saturday, Sunday, widespread storms over northern Utah with highs only in the upper 80s. From the KSL Weather Center, I'm Kevin Eubank.
And we have hit 101 degrees in downtown Salt Lake City. In St. George at this hour, it's raining and only 74 degrees. You've been listening to the 5 o'clock report. It's brought to you by Any Hour Services, Electrical, Plumbing, Heating and Air, anyhourservices.com. KSL News Time, 5:23.
This is Derek Miller speaking on business. iCare for Kids has helped 400,000 children in 20 years. Joseph Carbone, founder and president of iCare for Kids, is here to tell us more about his dream to help children see become a reality.
iCare for Kids began in 2001, and my wife and I started a nonprofit to provide professional eye care services and glasses to children who couldn't afford them. When 9-year-old Santi Morales came to the iCare for Kids mobile vision clinic last week, he became the 400,000th child we helped with glasses. iCare for Kids helps one child at a time. With each pair of eyeglasses we provide, we truly believe we are offering that child hope, self-esteem, vision, and a chance to get a good education and become anything they want. iCare for Kids has clinics in Utah, Arizona, Nevada, and New Jersey. Our renovated clinic in Midvale will allow us to help an additional 20,000 children a year right here in Utah. We are hoping to help 1 million children by 2025, thanks to our Sight the World initiative to bring eyeglasses to any child, anywhere. We love every child we help. The smiles from the kids and the happy tears from their parents when they realize their child can truly see, that's truly priceless.
Helping children see is iCare for Kids' goal now and for years to come. You can help this cause at iCareForKids.org. It only takes $35 to provide the miracle of sight. I'm Derek Miller with the Salt Lake Chamber, and this is Speaking on Business.
Coping 19, brought to you by CDC and the Ad Council.
Feel like your emotions are all over the place? A healthy routine that includes enough sleep, exercise, and proper nutrition can help you feel more centered.
Find more self-care and coping tips at coping-19.org.
KSL News Time 5:25. We are watching Utah's money. Most people have about 116 unused dollars sitting around their house in gift cards. A survey from Bankrate.com found between all the unused gift cards, there's about $15 billion sitting in Americans' wallets. Check and make sure you use them before the expiration dates. KSL drives, KSL flies, gas for cars isn't the only fuel shortage. Planes are also seeing issues with delivery delays. American Airlines announced today it might have to add stops to some flights to re-up on fuel. The gun that killed famous outlaw Billy the Kid in 1881 will be auctioned off for $2 million. Other Western firearms from the collection will be auctioned off at Bonhams on August 27th. On Wall Street today, the Dow was up 82 points, ending the day at 35,144. S&P was up by 10, and the NASDAQ up by 3 points. Hundreds are being evacuated on the Italian island of Sardinia as fires rage there. ABC's Megan Williams is in Rome and has details.
More than 1,000 residents and tourists have been evacuated from the Mediterranean island of Sardinia, where wildfires that raged over the weekend continued on Monday. The region's president called the disaster on the beach-lined island without precedent. No human deaths or injuries have been reported, but hundreds of sheep, goats, cows, and pigs died after being trapped in barns that caught fire. Firefighters from nearby France and Greece took part in the Italian effort to put out the flames, though efforts have been hampered by hot southwesterly winds, putting the fire danger level at extreme. Megan Williams, ABC News, Rome.
A gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on KSLPodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.